Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do, when
I was a little
girl, I grew up, when I started to live alone.
Each and every one on this planet.
We don't get to pick and choose who to love. We are to love everybody. Then that way we don't miss anyone. So that is not my sermon. So now I know I won't be with you long on tonight. It might be morning where you are, but it's night in the AM, on the AM dial on my corner of the block. But I just wanted to just, you know, send out a hearty thank you to all of my loyal and faithful listeners. God love you and I love you. And you can take that to God's bank. In God, I put my trust. So you can carry that to God's bank. Hallelujah. So now we're gonna just kind of move along rapidly, pretty rapidly. I won't be able to, you know, just pray. I usually go into a prayer for those that has lost loved ones, but I'm going to just pray for those that has lost loved ones, and I'm asking God to just hold you close, because I've had some friends and colleagues and people that I don't even know that has lost loved ones, you know, this week, last week, and we just want God to cover you in his shield of protection, as only he can do. We want God to just cradle you in his bosom, hold you close, hallelujah, in your hour of despair, in your hour of bereavement, in your hour of a great loss. Because until you lost someone, you cannot even imagine what that individuals are going through. But we're going to be sending up prayers. We're going to be sending up our temple. We have prayer warriors that are praying around this planet. They're praying with you and for you that God will restore your joy and bring restoration unto your heart and soul. Hallelujah, and may God keep and bless you always. All right, so now we're going to go into our opening prayer. This will be our final prayer. And so I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Hallelujah. Father God, we're coming with a grateful heart. Your sovereignty and your love are unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us, God, to assemble together, God, around the spectrum, God. Father God, you said when you went away that you went to prepare a place for us, and when you return, or upon your return, that you would come to receive us, the bridegroom, unto yourself. But until that appointed time is upon us, God, we just will continue in your way and in your will, keep moving up and onward. And God, we will continue to mount up from the four corners winds of this world, God, from the north, south, east, and west. Hallelujah, God, as pilgrims, we're just strangers in this barren land. This is not a home, God. But you have provided us a way to congregate, God, with the word of God and to just fellowship one to another, God. And we're just asking you, God, to just continue to carry us, God. Just like I have just first stated, we're pilgrims traveling through this barren land. And I'm asking you, God, on this morning, slash night this morning, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Asking you, God, to, hallelujah, just allow me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to each and every individual that are hurting deep down within the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty marvelous name. Let the cathedral of God's people say amen and amen. All right, so now you have it. So we're going to, like I said, I will be with you briefly, but I have the chat room open for your sitting and listening pleasure. I want to once again welcome all of you, the first-time listeners. We want to welcome our guests. Hallelujah. We want to just welcome each and every individual. And you can bring your chip and your dip and whatever you want, sip your latte, your OJ beverages. Hallelujah. And just allow me to minister the divine word of God as God give it unto me. So without any further ado, because we know that time is pressing, we're going to go right on into our service. And this is a live church praise and worship experience. This is not a pre-recording, but this is live. I'm coming to you about 1:40 on the AM dial on my neck of the block, hallelujah, neck of the woods, on my corner of the block. And so we're going to go on in to our sermon. And our sermon on this morning entitled, let me get my seeing glasses here because I can see that well without them until I got my new specs in progression. So our sermon on this morning entitled, Rest in Peace. I want to say that one more time. A sermon on this morning entitled, Rest in Peace. And we're coming out of the law of Psalms 4:8, and it reads like this. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That scripture reading once again is coming out of the law of Psalms 4:8. And you know, there was a man I'm reminded of that created a safety bed, which he claimed would provide protection against a hurricane or tornado, thieves, kidnappers, and terrorists. And so the inventor website was called the safest rest you ever had. Now, we know that when a motion sensor detects a threat, the quantum sleeper automatically folds up around its occupants. Inside the bulletproof canopy, an alarm awakens the protected sleeper, who can spray tear gas on the intruder or watch a movie on the DVD player while waiting out a storm. Even so, I suspected that not even an armored bed can guarantee a good night's sleep, untouched by anxiety or fear. We know that in the Gospel of Psalms 4:4-5 has a three-part recipe for finding peace in a troubled world. Now, when you're angry, don't express it by disobeying God. When you lie down at night, do it in the heart, searching silent. And the Bible says we are to live, sacrificially putting your trust in the Lord. No hymn affirm this biblical instructions. It says that we're leaning safely and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms of God. And we're talking about leaning on God. We're talking about allowing God to be your security protection system spiritually. We're talking about dwelling in the safety of God, in the safety net of God is what we're talking about. God is the only one that can give you and I peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tsunami, in the midst of your calamity, in the midst of your divorce, in your midst of miscarriage, in your midst of friendliness, in your midst of loneliness, in your midst of despair. God can give you rest. God can give you peace, hallelujah, in your heart and in your mind. God can give you peace, and that's what we're talking about. Because we're living now in a time that things is uncertain, and we don't know what will bring about in the next minute, the next moment, the next second, the next hour, the next month, the next year. Only God knows. But God tells us to always pray and faint not. So we got to always pray, ask God for guidance, ask God to be our protector, because we know that our adversary, the Bible says, that he's walking to and fro and saying who he may devour. So So we know the devil is out to get anybody that's a willing body, an able body that he can get. You know, if Satan is stupid enough to carry Jesus up into this high mountain after God had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, told God, said, I'll give you all of this if you would fall down and worship me. And God told Satan, said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he went on to ask God, you know, if you be the Son of God, why don't you command these stones to be made bread? Then God told him, says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So Satan went on to just keep on badgering God about what he would do if God would do that. I'll do this if you do that. But see, what Satan failed to realize that God is the creator of everything, even him. God made him. One, he was used to be one of God's most prized possessions, an angel. He was an angel, handsome angel. But then he got beside himself. Didn't want to obey God's law and bylaws anymore. And the Bible don't even say when the evil got into Satan or Lucifer. But the Bible says that I don't want to say mean, but it's another term that I'm looking for, evil, maybe I should say evil, got into him. And he just didn't want to obey God. He wanted to be over God, and he wanted to sit where God is sitting. He wanted to sit on the holy throne and God to worship him. But see, he got it twisted because God is the maker and creator of everything. And so how are you going to give God something that already belonged to him? You know, that's, like I said, that's stupid anyway. I mean, it sounds stupid, and it is stupid. You know, it's ludicrous. How you going? That'd be just like, I'll tell you, you lose a parent. I tell you, I say, well, you know, if you come on over here and hang with me, you know, then I will share, you know, whatever money or possessions that your parent left. You know, you'll say, well, I'll tell you, I'll share them with you if you come on over here and hang out with me. But see, I don't have that authority because you're already an heir. So you're an heir of your mother, you're an heir of your father. So whatever they leave in this world, you're going to automatically get part of it. And if you're the only heir, then you get all of it. But I'm just trying to make that example to, you know, let you understand where I'm going with this and where I'm coming from. And so, like I said, Satan's always looking for somebody that he can twist their mind and twist the word of God and to sway their thinking. You know, they're thinking logically. Well, the devil wants you to be thinking, you know, all out of the box, out of your mind. You know, he wants to take you and make you his little minion. He want to control you on what you do and say and go and how you present yourself each and every day. He want to dictate to you on the do's and the don'ts. But do not let him, because we know that God is our creator. And God put us here for one reason in particular, and that is to serve God. God allowed us to enjoy a lot of things. You know, we can enjoy having a family, enjoy having a child, enjoy being married to your wife and to your spouse, to your husband, you know, and having grandparents, having an aunt and an uncle, an aunt and an uncle, and having little cousins and having best friends and colleagues and all this good stuff. This is a part of the package. But the package deal was, Jesus went out on Calvary Mountain over 2,000 light years ago, and Jesus made it perfectly plain. He said, it is not my will. So don't get it twisted. It is not my will that I go to Calvary Mountain, but it is the will of my Father. So Jesus, being the obedient Son that he was and that he is and that he is to come, that he went on up and carried his cross on Golgotha's mountain. And the Bible says that they hung him high and they spread him wide. They put a crown of thorns, a crown, you mind you, of thorns, like stickers that went through the very flesh of Jesus. If that wasn't enough, then they drove spikes, gigantic nails, in his right hand, in his left hand. Then they took his feet, left and right, and just stacked one upon the other, and then drove a large spike from the top layer to the very last core of Jesus' feet. Then they took a spear and pierced him in his side. The Bible says that blood and water came gushing out. The Bible also said that the sun refused to shine, so it was total darkness upon the earth. So Jesus did all of that. He didn't do all of that for us to just have the run of the mill and do what we feel like we're big enough and bad enough to do. We've got to come under God's guidelines. He got bylaws. He's got rules of engagement. Hallelujah. And so we got to abide by these 66 books. These are the rules of engagement that Jesus is talking about. And so God will protect you from everything that tries to harm you. I mean, every single iota that try to come against you. The Bible tells us, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Says there is no need for you to fear. When you got Jesus Christ, this great big old Jesus, standing near. I'm talking about a Jesus that walks on the cloud. Hallelujah. Jesus has all authority and power. See, people just don't know how much power God has. I think they think he's a little weakly. They think that he can't do anything. He think that he can't solve their problems. He can't put money in their bank account. He can't put money in their pockets. He can't put food on their table. He can't send a good Samaritan to their porch and ring their doorbell and say, God told me to give this to you. Bring you brand new suits at your doorstep. Brand new dresses. Brand new men's suits. Children clothing. And just give to you. Because God sent them to your residence to bless you. Well, I'm here to encourage your heart that God wants to present unto you his very best. But in return, you know, it's a give and take thing. Just like in a marriage, it's a give and take. You know, the husband has to do 50 and the wife do 50. So it's a 50-50 thing in order to make it 100. And Jesus said that 99 and a half won't do. So we got to make 100 if we want to make it into the gates of heaven. So what I'm talking about rest for your weary soul. You know, you say, well, you know, I'm afraid to be at home at night by myself when my son is not here, my daughter's not here, my husband is not here, my uncle, my grandparent is not here. I'm afraid to be here. But you know what? God can put you in a mode to where you will not be afraid anymore. If you're the only person that at your residence, it won't mean nothing because God can give you rest for your soul. So, you know, we often take God's blessings for granted till they are taken from you and I and us. Then at that time, then we realize and we recognize how important even the most common gift of God really is. You know, hallelujah, Jesus, bless your holy name. There is a legend about a day the sun didn't rise. And at about 6 o'clock in the morning, it was dark. At 7, it was still night. Noon came, and it was like midnight. By 4 in the morning, afternoon, people flocked to the treasures to beg God for the sun. The next morning, a huge crowd gathered outdoor to face the eastern sky. When the first ray of sunlight pushed open the doors of the morning, the people burst into cheers and praised God for the sun. The psalmist knew that he couldn't, hallelujah, possibly remember all of God's benefits to him. He was distressed that he might forget them all. So he took his sluggish soul in hand and shook it, urged it to consider at least some of the good gifts, hallelujah, that God gave to him. Because God's goodness is as constant as the sun. We are in danger of forgetting what he showers on you and I thus each day. If we count our blessings one by one, we'll never get finished. But if we jot down a list of 10 to 20 gifts God gives us each day, hallelujah, something will happen to our heart. So let's try it and find out for ourselves. We know that every morning as we rise, God's new mercy greets our eyes. When the twilight shadow falls, evening blesses and it brightens all. So if you want, hallelujah, to be rich, I want you to count all of your blessings, and you have what money can't buy. Because God is our shield of protection. God cover us, hallelujah, in his spiritual shadow of his love. God loves us. I want you to know that God loves you. God do not, you know, pick and choose his children and say, well, I love you, and I don't love you, but I love you right here. God may not like the lifestyle that we're leading, but God loves us, each and every one. And God don't love you a little bit, and I love me more, and you less, but God loves us all. The same volume. God loves us with an everlasting love. God said, I can be your mother. I'll be your father. I'll be your sister. I'll be your brother. I'll be your grandparents. You know, I'll be your uncle and your aunt. God said, I will be everything that you need me to be. When family's gone, when family deserts you, when your kids no longer want to have anything to do with you and say you're too old, you know, you got Alzheimer's. You have, what is this other ailment, dementia. You have Parkinson's disease, and I don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, because the Bible says there's coming a time when mothers are going to be against daughters, mothers against daughter-in-laws, sons against fathers, fathers against sons. And we have that in our world right now. So we know that God's word is being fulfilled as we live. Every second, every hour, every minute, God's word is coming to pass. So, you know, don't take it lightly that the word of God is going to always be here. Because God says, seek me while I can be found. So you got to seek God while you can find him. Because God says there's going to be a time that you're not going to be able to find God. Now, I didn't say that, but that's what his word says. So we got to seek God while he may be found. You know, you can't get so comfortable and to where you think, well, I got plenty of time to get myself right with God. I got ample time. There's no need for me to get in a hurry, you know. But I'll tell you, you know, people are dying every second, every minute, every hour. People are leaving this planet. And you don't have to be sick in order to leave this planet. So if I was you, I would make up in my mind who I was going to serve. The Bible says, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You can't serve both, you know, Satan and God at the same time. For darkness will not run hand in hand with light. So if Satan is the darkness and God is the light, God is not going to be shaking hands with Satan, holding hand with Satan, skipping and hopping and jumping with Satan. So the Bible says we got to choose this day who we're going to serve. And then when you choose Jesus, you can rest in his peace. See, that is our sermon tonight, is resting in the peace, everlasting arms of Jesus. See, a lot of us, we're just worry box. And the Bible says, do not worry about your life. Hallelujah. We shouldn't worry about your life. Leave that worry to God. but you get yourself right, those of you that don't know God, in the pardons of your iniquity. Hallelujah. Salvation is calling you on this morning. You can stop right where you are, right where you're sitting, you're squatting, you're kneeling, you're lying, and tell God, said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have sinned. And you confess your sin before God. So, God, forgive me of my sin. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Fill me with your present spirit. And God will do just that. God will take the old sins, put them in the sea, and he will not remember them anymore. Hallelujah. But you'll be new and improved. And you'll be able to, you know, go out and find your good church home. Get under somebody that's preaching the divine doctrine of God. Not adding to God's word, not taking away, not doing what they want to do, but doing it God's way. See, we can't take the Bible and do it as we please, but we have to preach what God has already lined it out. God said there is no other gospel than what has already been laid. So we can't go with nothing but what God has already laid out for us and preach that. That's what we're supposed to do. But people now, you know, they're just doing any and everything. And they're just, you know, they're going their own way. And that's what the Bible says, that, you know, it's going to come a time that people are going to go their own way. They have itchy ears. They want you to lie. They want you to make them happy by lying. But when you go to telling the truth, they don't want to hear the truth. But the Bible says the truth is going to set you free. The truth will set you free. The Bible says those, if you're free in God, you're free from that old way of living. You're free from that old place you used to go. You're free of swearing and lying and cheating and stealing and whatever your habit was. If you didn't do any of those things, then you was a sinner. So God wants to take you out of the clutches of Lucifer and put you over here in his vineyard to be a worker for Jesus. See, that's the reason, that's the utmost reason that we're here. And God said he give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Ooh, my God, hallelujah. And so I'm going to read a little bit more, and then I'm gonna have to go on into the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion, and that is to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. But I'm going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to open up the studio prayer request line for those that might have a prayer petition that you would want the old Shepherd Zion touch and agree, and to go down in prayer and believe God for what you've asked him for. And so, you know, there was a lady that was she just was a worry box, And she kept this box as well in her kitchen, and so she named it the worry box. And every time that something would trouble her, she would write it down on a piece of paper and put it in the worry box. And she resolved not to think about her problems as long as they were in the box. And you know, that's the way we are. We don't want to think about, you know, being, you know, afraid, being lonely, being a widow, being a widower, or just being by yourself, you know, because you feel like, oh, I can never live by myself, you know. But do you know you was born by yourself? I mean, unless you was, and even if you was a twin, you still come in. One was come in at one time, and another one come in at another time. So if it was 2 minutes after, 3 minutes, or whatever, seconds, then you still, you know, you come after the first one. So we know that, like I said, we shouldn't be afraid of anything. God don't want us to be afraid, but God want us to just pray and put our trust in him. So like I said, getting back to this lady that had the worry box, and so she just put her problems in that worry box, and she didn't worry about them as long as she had them there. Hallelujah. She just, you know, looked like she would put her troubles completely out of her mind, because she knew they would be dealt with later. And that's the way we do. You know, I don't want to deal with that right now. I have to deal with that later. You know, I get stressed out. I can't handle that, you know. But see, we know that God is not going to give us no more than we can stand. God said, I won't put no more on you than you can bear. And then God also says that, he says that my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. So it's nothing complicated about God. And so occasionally this woman, she'd take a slip of paper out and review the concern that she had written on it because she had not been drained by anxieties. She was relaxed and better able to find a solution to her problems. Many times she discovered that a specific worry no longer existed. But writing your worries on papers and putting them in a box might be helpful, so you think. How much better is it to place them in the hands of God? You know that worry robs you and I and us of our joy, drains us of our energy, and stunts our spiritual growth. It also dishonors God. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. And he says, sufficient for the day is its own troubles. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, Matthew 6 and 34. Let's believe the Lord's promise, and we want you to trust him to meet your needs, placing yours and mine and our problems in his hand, far better than putting them in a worry box. Hallelujah. Because I want you to know it's never trial that he is not there. Never burden that he does not bear. Never sorrow that he does not share. Moment by moment, you and I are under his care. When we put our cares in God's hands, then God put his peace in our heart. We're talking about rest in peace. You don't have to rest in anxiety, but you can rest in peace. You can lay down and sleep like a baby. I'm talking about an infant. You can lay down without any worries because you're leaving your worries at the feet of God. Hallelujah. God will give you peace in the midst of your storm. Hallelujah. You know, we know that in this world, a lot of us, you know, a lot of us still have our parents, and that's wonderful. I wish I could say the same, but my mother's gone on. But, you know, those of you that has your parents, Lord, just thank God for them. Thank God for them, because we want, like them, some of us to grow old. Some of you may not want to grow old, but some of you want to grow old. And perhaps the hardest times that you and I have to face in this life, as the saying goes, getting old is not for sissies. Mainly growing old is about losses. We devote most of our early life to acquiring things, but they are merely things we will lose as we age. We lose our strength. We lose our looks, our friends, our job. We may lose our wealth, our homes, our health, our spouse, our independence, and perhaps the greatest loss of all, our sense of dignity and self-worth. But there is one thing that you and I and us will never lose, and that is the love of God. Hallelujah. Even so, your old age, I am he, God said to the prophet, even to the gray hairs, I will carry you, I have made you. I will bear, and even I will carry and will deliver you. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Isaiah 46 and 4. The Bible says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Wrote the songwriter in the Psalms 9 and 2 and 12, those are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise his holy name. And this is our last reading, and we're going to end it after this. And we know this key scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 33 and 14, and it reads this. It says that my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So, like I said, you can rest in the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. We know that time of walking away comes to all of us, and they can be emotionally wrenching. A loved one walks away in death, Child moves away from home. We leave a job of a community and we feel as if we've left everything behind. But when you and I and us, when we know the Lord, we never have to walk into an unknown future alone. It's worth pausing to reflect how much the children of Israel walked away from when Moses led them out of Egypt. They left the heavy burdens of slavery, but they also left everything stable and predictable. Hallelujah. They had even known later when the Lord told Moses, "My presence will go with you. I will give you rest." That's Exodus 33:14. Moses replied, "If your presence goes not, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." And that was verse 15. So, you know, during the most difficult of times, our stability comes from the presence and the peace of God, because he goes with you and I and us. We can walk into the future with confidence. Hallelujah. I'll never walk alone. Christ walked beside me. He is the dearest friend I ever known. With such a friend to comfort and to guide me, I'll never walk alone. You will walk alone. We will walk alone. We know every loss leaves a space, but only God's presence can fill. Allow God to allow you to rest in his peace on this morning. So we're going to end it right here. I hope and I pray, hallelujah, that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind. I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If you have any prepositions that you'd want the old ship of Zion, hallelujah, to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. You can see your correspondence at P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. We're encouraging you to go in God. Buckle up with Jesus at your will, because he is people friendly. Buckle up with Jesus at your will, because he is people friendly. But I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. You go in God and then allow God to go in you. Allow God to take over your steering wheel. Hallelujah. God will lead you to safety. Put your trust in him. Don't doubt him. Don't be a doubting Thomas. But trust God and take him at his word. Hallelujah. We're going to open up the studio request line right now, momentarily. And we're going to give you a few minutes. Those that desire prayer, you're welcome to call in. And you can, hallelujah, have the old ship of Zion, host and moderator, oversee elect Janice Ward, to just touch and agree spiritually that what you've already asked God in faith, that we will touch and agree. And God will bring it to fruition. The lines are open. And the number in which to call, hallelujah, is 646-787-8134. 646-787-8134. You can call in, hallelujah, and make your request known. So we're going to be going now on into the second phase of our program, and that is the hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. So I just want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. And we're going to now turn it over to the second phase of our program, and that is hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. We just thank God. We thank God for, you know, allowing us to congregate across these digital formats. And we just thank God, because we know that God is such a good God. We just thank God for everything that he does for us. We know God loves us. No greater love than God lay down his life for us. God loves you, and I don't want you to ever think that God don't love you, that God is punishing you, because God do not punish us. We go through trials and tribulations. And we will always go through trials and tribulations as long as our feet is planted on planet Earth. But God said that you would go through trials and tribulations, and in the world you would have chaos. But God said, "In me you shall have peace." So God can bring you peace in the midst of your storm. Hallelujah. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name.
Thank you. Many mighty ships are sinking, was calling out to you by your name. Don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold it, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light, you hold the light. And it's shining and making darker places brighter, you light up. You hold the light, you got a light. You bring a light and it's shining. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing of. It's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. And believe me, you ain't see much, it's just a beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant, pay your attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light, you hold the light. And it's shining and making darker places brighter, you light up. You hold the light, you got a light. You bring the light, you bring the light. And it's shining and they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing, no, it's not for remixing. Not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you.
Walking up, always waiting for something to find you, but if it's
procrastinating. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way. Step two, step three,
walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes,
to a better land.
Thank you.
Trust me, baby girl, something's different. It's accepting that we're not in control. giving our lives to the one who is. He wipes our noses and subdue our fears. And honestly, that's all it really is. In our youth, we had hopes too, but some heroes never ever appear. Gently down the stream,
Miss Fady.
Merrily, merrily, merrily.
Little lady,
life is but a dream.
Miss Fady. Little lady,
oh, just a little girl.
Miss Fady.
Grown up in the cocoa.
Little
world.
Lady,
well, nothing's what it seems.
Miss Fady. Sit down, count the snow.
Johnny met Donna, and they fell in love, but had no idea what love really was. But they tried their best to make each other smile, but while learning themselves, they would have a child. But with no time to think the whole thing through, little time to prepare, it got tough to provide for him and give him love and care. How do I, when and where are questions they both often ask God? Like this full of twist, like this full of swirls, is the way of the world that flips you upside down. When you're young, when you're old, it just spins out of control. Whoa, it spins out of control. You never know. Johnny and Donna slowly recognized that for the baby's future, they planned two different lives. Donna wanted a family. She wanted to do it right, make Johnny's house a home. She wanted to be your wife. But Johnny was a dreamer, and he had to move around. Yeah, he'd be there for his child, but wouldn't settle down. How do I, when and where are questions they both often ask God? Life is full of twist, life is full of swirls, is the way of the world, it's whirlwinds and girlfriends. Friends and Frenchmen, war, peace and peacemen, gentlemen, ladies, our neighbors, ladies, mistakes and peach rings, flecks and bleach stains. Don't forget wasp and bee stings. Whether you're Johnny or Donna, or neither of the two, just try to make the best of what's given to you. Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing. Yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the Word. But everybody seems to be quoting scriptures. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits 'cause they're tired. on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. I'm not yet deep, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people, God's got a hold on. And I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright, 'cause his hand is on me, it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments, so much I don't understand, so much I don't.